You know, I'm pretty sure I've been intending to cut a new intro to this show for like 3 years. This is Pure Decking, show number 334 for Thursday. What is it, June? Yep, June 24th. Yeah, I can read. 2019. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and reminding you that yelling at the internet is healthy. Probably. I'm Morps. I am drinking Woodford's. Tonight, we have Mad Men. What is Mad Men drinking?
I am drinking Bullet Bourbon. And I need to move this bottle further away from my computer.
Yeah, I have a decanter that I used to keep full at the computer until I realized it kept evaporating there. I don't know why.
Well, don't put it through the port, near the ports, the exhaust port.
Right. Are you?
Mona.
What are you drinking?
Tears of a Cloud.
Okay, well, that's something. It's better than orange juice after brushing your teeth. I mean, you know.
So. Just because you're defeating the purpose doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, so long as you properly rinse, you're not tasting fluoride.
Mmm, fluoride. Nah. Oh, damn it, are you? We missed the joke.
I'm glad you did, and I wasn't going to remind you. So, moving right along.
Brought to you by Australia.
There we go. Okay. Yeah. I haven't really done much with the station lately. I mean, we're doing the show every week, but it's like I've got some ideas, but like the website's just a front end to the IRC in the show now, in the live stream, which is I guess all it really needs to be, but it, you know, running the CMS on it's kind of overkill. And you know, I've been meaning to recut some new audio, but I'm looking for the website's hard to find. The website's hard to find? Galaxy15radio.com is hard to find?
It doesn't pop up at the number one search on Google.
Oh, is it still the art? Yeah. Well, we named the thing after a news story about a rogue zombie satellite, so which is just cool. I mean, so obviously that's still going to pop up. So
it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want it to be like, you know, I like it to be a little bit underground. We don't want to get too much attention. We'll get, you know.
The first page could be nice, or second page.
Is it not on the first page, really?
No, it's on the first page. I think it's like three or four down.
Yeah.
And then the first one takes you to the, I think it's the Reddit forum.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If you are looking for us, you'll find us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never really worried too much about it.
So, you know, if you get too mainstream, that's when you get, you know, what'd you call them? Are you coral snake hairs? I mean, people yelling at you. It's like, it's like you said something mean once 10 years ago. Yeah.
But it's a saturated market. Whoops. It is a very saturated market competing for show attention out there right now.
I don't know. I like the hate mail we used to get.
I did enjoy it when we actually had somebody say, you're When we're really billing the station as cyberpunk, and a lot of the music still kind of is, you know, somebody came on, you're too conservative for cyberpunk, and they were listening to Lore's fucking show too. It's yeah. Like, wow.
I mean, keeping low profile has been a great thing. I'm glad I haven't had a BuzzFeed article written about me.
I can't say I blame you there.
You know what I mean? Like, just look at poor Count Dankula and those fuckers, man. From out of nowhere to prison, you know.
Well, I mean, hell, you don't even have to be that offensive. What's the Chinese chick's name? The one with the big fake boobs that does the 3D printing stuff. I can't think of her name.
I don't know. Don't watch the channel.
She shows up every
for now.
She stands out because she's got giant fake tits, right? But she gets ran through the wood chipper all the damn time. That's it, Psychro, sexy cyborg. That's not her real name. That's the handle she used to use. I was trying to think of her real name, or at least the name she because she actually lives in China. She's in trouble with the Chinese government all the fucking time. Seriously,
get the fuck out of China.
Yeah, but
you know,
because basically she gets doxxed because people don't like her, and you know why? She stood out too much. She got so. You draw too much attention to yourself, but and I don't you know, I don't begrudge her. I don't think she's done anything wrong, but people don't like her for one reason or another, and then boom, she's in trouble with her government. So it's like fuck.
Well, I know you don't follow it much, Morse, but I'm entertained by the just eternal bullshit that goes on in the background between e celebrities. It is just grand amusement for me.
Oh, I can't follow it, man. It's too depressing.
I find it. It's just a beautiful blood sport. A friend turning on friend, demonetizing each other, fucking gay ops and shit like that. It is beautiful, and I'm glad I never got involved with that crap.
I don't blame you. Because
that was the one thing I always banged on about in the beginning was, like, no fucking money. Every time I see one of these big shows like Andy Worski or the dudes that are pulling down 100,000 fucking views and making 10 grand a show, anytime. They fucking blow up, man. And then people start hating on each other and doxing each other and fucking swatting each other. Well, and they were so-called friends. And it's all over a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
If it'll make you feel any better, if we start pulling 10 grand a show, I will happily keep your share and split it with my liver. Or morps.
Yeah. So I just... it's just not a good idea.
You know, it's okay, so Galaxy 15, we're going to make sure has never got really any money tied to it. I mean, yeah, people, you know, help here and there and whatever, but like any serious money tied to it? No. If I want to do something that's going to make serious money online, it's going to be under a different project name, as we've discussed. So, in fact, I remember you being a little militant about that.
that and the don't make threats to the president. It's life. Everything, that were the only two rules.
Yeah, well, Static broke the second one, but nobody's managed to break the first one yet, so.
There we go. I think that's what steered us out of a lot of trouble and kept us relatively obscure. So,
yeah.
Security right. Through obscurity.
Yeah, because that's totally real security, right. So the lead one I've got from today, air for today, is from the Register, and they've been updating it throughout the day. I guess I can just read the article here. Web ad giant Google to start blocking ad blockers in Chrome for safety. Google engineers have proposed changes to the open-source Chromium browser that will break content-blocking extensions, including ad blockers. If the overhaul goes ahead, AdBlock Plus and many similar plugins that rely on basic filtering will, with some tweaks, still be able to function to some degree, unlike the more ambitious extensions such as uBlock Origin, which will be hit hard. The drafted changes will limit the capabilities available to extension developers, ostensibly for the sake of speed and safety. Chromium forms the central core of Google Chrome and soon Microsoft Edge. In a note posted Tuesday on the Chromium bug tracker, Raymond Hill, the developer behind uBlock Origin and uMatrix, said the changes contemplated by the Manifest version 3 proposal will ruin his ad and content blocking extensions, taking control away from users. Content blockers may be used to hide or black hole ads, but they have broader applications. Their predication on the notion that users, rather than anybody else, should be able to control how their browser presents and interacts with remote resources. Well, yeah, it's your fucking computer. You know, Microsoft and Apple be damned. It is your computer. You own the fucking thing. You ought to be able to decide what it's doing. And you actually have some, especially web people, who get really upset about the idea that, no, I'm presenting the website. I control what your computer does, which I find terrifying. So,
yes.
As somebody who's worked in this industry for a while and has built many websites, that concept is absolutely fucking horrific, especially with things like WebAssembler and how far some of the JavaScript has gotten. Dude, no, you need to be able to control what's coming into your machine. Let's see. Manifest version 3 refers to the specification for browser extension manifest files, which enumerates the resources and capabilities available to browser extensions. Google's stated rationale for making the proposed changes, cutting off blocking plugins, is to improve security, privacy, and performance, and supposedly to enhance user control. Users should have increased control over their extensions, the design document says. A user should be able to determine what information is available to an extension and to be able to control that privilege. And Google actually has a point here in that there are a lot of extensions out there that are bad, or they'll be fine and then the extension developer will sell the extension to somebody else, because this has happened a couple of times last year, and the person that buys it will then turn it into an advertising thing, you know, web tracking and putting ads on pages and shit. So I understand where Google's coming from with this. It's not out of left field. They've had some misbehaving extensions in the past, you know. In recent but past.
I would need to go get the updated extension. And if you're putting an extension in your browser, I assume that you're at least wise enough to read up on the extension you're using.
Well,
it's not something that you automatically... Okay, I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're very
there
wrong.
There are some you can click on and it will auto-install.
A lot of the extensions I use, keep themselves I've had to go look well. For. Yeah.
Well, I'm the same madman.
So some of these will keep themselves up to date if you let them as well.
Yeah.
So
I have hopped on some computers and I'm like, why do you have 1,000 different add-ons to your bar? Like, the website asked me for it and I just said yes. I'm like, oh god, I don't see those.
Yeah, I don't like touching straight holes, man.
Yeah. So I predict a mass migration either back to Firefox or over to Brave. So
what's Brave like these days?
Not bad. Not bad. I've used it. I use it on the laptop here, and it works fine. There's nothing wrong with it. At least that I've noticed. I know there were some websites that supposedly didn't work as well with it, especially some of the heavier JavaScript stuff. I think some of the Google sites had problems with it. But other than that, I mean, when I do use it, I haven't had a problem. I'm usually launching Firefox just out of habit at this point, but.
As I stated last year, I'm trying to get off the dick of Google, and I'm using the DuckDuckGo, man. It's rough. It's not there, like, over a Google search engine, but I'm trying.
Yeah. There's always Bing.
Dude, no. It's even worse. I get it. Building a search engine with the ability like Google has is a hard task. But yeah, DuckDuckGo, it's okay, but it's not Google, unfortunately.
You should look into some of the meta search engines. There's some really fun ones out there.
Yeah.
Because they'll search. What was the one I used to use? I can't think of its name because you could actually had an open source version of it.
Ask Jeeves?
No. It was an open source one because you could run your own copy of it. What was it? Cyrix. It was Cyrix. And DPView beat me to it while I was over here Googling it, trying to find it.
One internet for you, sir.
So. Yeah, Cyrix is interesting because you can actually spin up your own copy of it and control where it goes out, or, you know, there's plenty of them that run online. So if you're really wanting to control, you know, who knows what about you based on your searches, you can set up a dedicated machine with a Tor gateway on it, a Cyrix instance, and then do all of your searching locally through that local little server. That'd be a badass Raspberry project, wouldn't it?
Be slow as shit.
Yes, it would.
It's a fucking nightmare you're making up here.
I work in security. What do you expect? What, a fast responsive system? Fuck that. I'm going to bog it down with as many monitoring and anti, you know, malware and bullshit agents as I can think of. At least according to people I work with. Well, you want a freedom on the internet? No, sir. We're blocking everything that comes from Asia.
Oh, my weeb porn. Fuck.
You know, I say all that, and we But at work, we actually put up a form saying, you know, hey, we've broadly blocked shit. If you need something unblocked, here's the form. And we got one with somebody seriously at work, dead serious, requesting us to unblock Netflix because she uses it.
At work?
At work.
Okay. That's better than I thought.
We forwarded it
right to the gutter.
Nobody's had the balls to submit porn yet. But we actually forwarded that one to her boss. She still has a job.
That's because there's no one like me working at your employment.
Yeah, but you'd do it just to be funny. I'm surprised nobody's done that.
Can I have 4chan unblocked?
Actually, given how many people that form copies, I don't blame anybody for doing that. 4chan unblocked.
Why not?
I don't know that it's blocked. I imagine that it is based on some of the filters we have, but I've never actually tested that from work.
Oh, I'm sorry, everyone Morphs works with. I've just fucked your whole week.
Well, I know what I'm doing tomorrow. Now.
God damn it.
It's sorry, never fellas. Occurred to me to see if I can load 4chan at work. It just wasn't something I thought of.
But he just hasn't seen enough Pepe t-shirts at work for it to occur to him.
Normally, I try to exercise a little bit of operational discretion, but, you know, if I need to
say... My previous place of employment, I would just... I unblock 4chan for myself, but that's because Kevin was a cock. Yeah, you couldn't go to Facebook at that workplace, but I could get the 4chan. Huh?
So... Anyway,
the article. Did they actually give a reason other than security? They didn't say how this would make it more secure.
Well,
you gave a reason, but I just want to know, did they justify it?
So, well, the article goes on talking about the part of the API they're actually changing, and pretty much they're taking out a part of the API that some things have been abusing and replace it with something else that Chrome has a lot more control over. And they're saying it so it's faster and it can decide whether or not to bother with it. But, you know, of course, it means the extensions can't exactly do that. Here we go. Scroll down a little bit. Whose privacy exactly? But better privacy here means privacy is defined by Google rather than privacy defined by a third-party extension developer. That's fine in scenarios where Google is more trustworthy than a third-party developer, such as a random extension you found on a website saying you need this extension to watch our video. Because that's how you get viruses, by the way. But if Google and its ecosystem of publishers and advertisers are the problem, then the users may prefer allowing a third party to filter network requests, even to the extent such intervention interferes with web page functionality. If this quite limited declarative net request API ends up being the only way content blockers can accomplish their duty, this essentially means that two content blockers I've maintained for years, uBlock Origin and uMatrix, can no longer exist, said Hill. The proposed changes will diminish the effectiveness of content blocking and ad blocking extensions, though they won't entirely eliminate all ad blocking. Basic filtering mechanisms supported by AdBlock Plus should still be available, but uBlock Origin and uMatrix offer far more extensive controls without trying to placate publishers through ad whitelisting. Don't forget, Google and other internet advertiser networks apparently pay AdBlock Plus to whitelist their online adverts. Meanwhile, Google has bunged its own basic ad blocking into the browser. Several other developers commenting on the proposed change expressed dismay, with some speculating that Google is using privacy as a pretext for putting the interest of its ad business over those of browser users. Hill, who's... You know, I've had AdBlock software of one form or another installed for so long, I don't actually know what most real web pages look like. I used to send people Instructables link because I had never loaded Instructables without AdBlock or uBlock turned on. And I had no idea just how much cancer was actually on that site if you tried to go to it on just a plain old machine.
Yeah, I was the same. I used my brother-in-law's laptop to pirate a movie at midnight.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, I didn't realize how many pop-ups and shit was on one of these websites I was using. Yeah.
Yep.
That was annoying.
Don't go to B-Movies without a pop-up blocker, dude.
Brought yeah, to that, you by that, Australia.
Sorry.
that's where I was at, madman. And so midnight. Yeah. A lot of noisy ads on that website.
Oh, dear.
I learned that after my last install. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I just remembered I forgot to put on block every fucking thing.
We're not after your dick pics.
Yeah, they are. They're after your fucking dick pics.
Oh, let me switch this back over to the standard soundboard because I'm going to be too tempted to use that all show. Anyways, following the huge outcry from public from plugin developers and netizens, I hate that word, netizens.
Citizens, just say citizens.
Just say people,
customers,
users,
people, users,
netizens. I mean, that's 90s bullshit speak right there. That's like AOL. I mean, you know, you used to see that shit in AOL chat rooms. Although, that's where I got my definition of what cybering online was, too. So whenever I hear, like, cybersecurity, I'm like, really? Okay.
Slap a rubber on it.
Yep. Google has reiterated that the proposed changes are not set in stone and are subject to revision. And while the Internet Goliath wants to rein in the level of access granted to Chrome browser extensions, it is prepared to work through the messy matter with third-party coders, who will have to rewrite parts of their software if all this goes ahead. We're also happy to clarify that while iBlock Plus is affected by the draft changes, it will not be whacked as hard as other extensions such as uBlock Origins due to AdBlock Plus's relatively simplistic filtering. Indeed, the proposed API appears to promote AdBlock Plus' simple filtering mechanism rather than the support the advanced content blocking other extensions offer. The sticking point is whether or not the proposed limit of 30,000 filter rules will be enough for the likes of AdBlock Plus. ADP developers say it won't. Their filter list has more than 70,000 entries. AdBlock Plus is, of course, affected by the proposed change because it would replace the main API that we and almost all other content blockers use to block requests with something of a bit watered down, the spokesperson said. Even though we don't know the exact plans for the proposed change, it should it get implemented, we'll make sure AdBlock Plus is available for Chrome users. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Chromium is going to be the basis for Edge. It's already the basis for a bunch of other stuff. And Microsoft now includes NewsGuard fake news warnings in the Edge browser. Eh, well, why not? You know, God forbid you be allowed to think for yourself. No, the browser and Facebook must tell me what's real and what's fake. Anyways, I see a lot of people running to Brave. But Brave or Firefox, although...
I think most move Firefox.
Well, a lot of people who've been at this for a while were used to Firefox, and they switched over to Chrome because Firefox got so slow. But a couple of years ago, they redid their engine, and Firefox has been pretty quick since I went back to it a couple of years, about a year ago.
I never had a problem with it. It's Chrome I've always had a problem with. It's fucking slow.
Well, that's because you need 32 gigs of RAM to properly run Chrome.
Ah, there's my problem.
Yeah, if you've only got 16, you're gonna hit that ceiling pretty quick.
And God damn.
Nobody gets that joke. Go look at your memory usage. You open up like 5 or 6 busy tabs and look at your memory usage out of Chrome sometime. It's a little surprising.
The running joke, isn't it?
Well, there's a reason Chromebooks and netbooks and Android tablets and suffer so hard when they're trying to run Chrome because they've only got a couple gigs of RAM and they hit it quick. Whereas, you know, at least on iPads and stuff like that, they, you know, even Chrome on an iPad and iPhone is actually using the Safari engine, which apparently is a little bit better tuned for, not having a server to, you know, host your browser tabs. So, yeah. Even low-end laptops and shit like that, but.
Yep, never really used Chrome. Once I get used to something, I like it until it breaks. I'm still on Firefox.
Or she leaves, either one.
That's what duct tape's for. You can leave as soon as you get out of the bondage, honey. I'll be back in a few minutes.
So, anyways, that's... Let's move on to this other great fun article here that RU sent me. Actually, although I've seen it posted to other places when I started looking for news, but RU beat me to finding it. And that would be that China tests opening up social credit scores to social media platform WeChat with the debt map. And China...
This is gorgeous.
In China's Hebei province, a red circle sweeps out on a radius on a map, like a naval radar, scanning for enemy ships. It is the latest tool to be piloted as part of China's social credit system that is geared at monitoring the behavior of the Asian superpower's 1.4 billion citizens and separating the trustworthy from the disobedient. Nicknamed the Deadbeat Map, the mini program is accessible within the Chinese social media platform WeChat and allows users to pinpoint the location of those who have failed to pay their debts within a 500-meter area. What are you going to do? Go beat them with a rubber hose? Who cares? They don't owe your money to you. It is the latest court mandated. There's a fucking court telling WeChat to do this. Court mandated escalation and naming and shaming Lao Lai, a derogatory term for dishonest debitors who are placed on a financial blacklist. Tapping on a person marked on the map reveals their personal information, including their full name, court case number, and the reason they have been labeled untrustworthy. Identity card numbers and home addresses are also partially shown. Fuck!
Down a dystopian rabbit hole, right?
And if they refuse, we'll find the shit out of them.
That's not the right sound effect.
It worked, though.
It does. It's new. Here's the one I wanted.
Towards a fucked up dystopia.
There we go. Let's see. Tapping on... Okay. The map turns red to mark a higher concentration of dishonest debitors, but downgrades to orange, yellow, or blue if there are fewer. I live in a blue zone. I must live in a good neighborhood. Wow. David Zhao.
Yeah, it's pretty
fucked up. David Zhao, 60, a resident of the Shenzhuang City in northeastern Hebei province. I hope I'm saying these names something close. I doubt it, but I'm trying. Said the map appeared to show registered home addresses of swindlers or fraudsters, not their live locations. When he stepped out for lunch recently, he saw the radar and the applet turn red, and some 28 people were identified in his vicinity. Quick, get a bat! Hebei's higher people's court did not respond to emails and phone calls from the ABC, but state-run media outlet China Daily quoted a court spokesperson as saying it was part of China's court measures to enforce their rulings and create a socially credible environment. WeChat founder Tencent said in a statement that user privacy and data security are our top priorities. That's why we're giving out their address and names. Fuck. And that users could easily report privacy concerns. They pointed out that the map was a program developed by a third party, the court, and not WeChat itself. So the court said, here, you're putting this in your platform. Do it. There it is.
The whole social credit thing, man, it's pretty fucked up, and it's brought to you by Google.
Partially born out of the lack of credit history and social trust, the broader SCS is aiming to monitor the behavior of all China's citizens nationwide by 2020. Yet it has been rolled out to date as a series of pilot projects across the nation and in various provinces. One private credit system using data from Alibaba rates people not only on their financial capability, but also on their consumer choices. The example, Sesame Credit Technology Director Lei Yingyun gave Chinese media, is a person who buys nappies. What? I'm sorry, this is poorly. The example, Sesame Credit Developer... Your credit technology director Li Yinyang gave Chinese media, okay, now it makes sense, is that a person who buys nappies regularly is responsible, while somebody who plays video games all day would be considered lazy. They're judging you based on what you buy.
They're judging you on whether you breed.
Yeah, that too.
When you consider the imbalance of Chinese men to Chinese women, it's 130 Chinese men to every hundred women.
Well, if you're married, you're more stable.
Yeah.
If you're one of the lucky 3/4, then you're just going to be shot in the street when the app's going to pop up red and the mob's going to come after you. I mean, you know, it's going to be Pink Floyd's "You on the Run." I mean, it's just like,
yeah, this shit is crazy, man.
You better run
because they need control like this because of the imbalance of men to women. There are way too many men who are not participating in life.
It's just a balance of men to women. It reduces the cost of policing if you have a society willing to police itself. That's one reason in early U.S. documents, it refers to a moral and religious culture. It's because if you have busybodies policing you, you don't need cops policing you.
Yeah.
So what would you prefer? Somebody who is shaming you into doing what society believes you should do, or somebody putting a gun to your head and saying, do what society believes you should do? Because those are the two ways we figured out how to police people. They're going with, your neighbors are going to say you're a bad person, be a good person, or we're not going to be good neighbors.
Well, I can't find it on here, but in one of the other quotes that was related to this story, and there's a couple versions of it floating around, was that the idea was to have people look up the people on the map, and then they could report if it looked like they were capable of repaying their debts and just didn't. So the idea was that you were
idea.
Yeah, the idea was that you were supposed to denounce people of like, oh no, no, look, he's not living in shit. He could repay his debts. But I mean, you're gonna get mob justice. You're gonna get people, you know, just fuck, that's what it's gonna be. You're gonna have groups of young men who can't get girlfriends because there's not enough girls, get bored and go around and just beating up anybody who the map flags as an undesirable.
So either way, other young men, nothing has changed.
Yeah.
So
I just want to point that out. Who do gangbangers beat up? Sometimes it's old people. It's usually other gangbangers. So you're going to have the young men beating the young men, possibly killing a young man and freeing up a woman.
There
Nothing has changed since the beginning of time. Except now I have a phone telling me who to beat up. Instead of me just randomly picking somebody.
Do you get points? Is it like Grand Theft Auto where you just see your bank account increasing because you're beating the shit out of somebody?
Oh, God. I guess
it'd be your social score here in this case instead of your bank account. But, you know. So it's not even real money. It's fake internet points.
So if your social credit go up if you shame someone?
Is your social credit going to be like Reddit upvotes? I mean, is it going to be about as sensible? You know, fake internet.
Oh, I hope not. At least when they're basing it on somewhat whether or not you pay your debts, that seems reasonable. Now, what you purchase, I'm kind of iffy on that. But whether
well, what
or
if
not
I'm not
you're
buying my diapers
back,
from there? What if I'm buying them in cash somewhere else?
You have an incomplete credit score.
Yep. Oops.
Now, what you do is you pay for your diapers with your credit card and you pay for your video games with cash. You're doing it wrong. That's the problem. This is how you do it right. Cash for
but
the video
really,
game, credit for the diapers.
Really, the only people who like would it would really benefit the social engineer out there who, you know, buys a couple of packs of diapers a week, even though he's playing video games, and then on the black market unloads said diapers for cash. Things like that. You could game the system.
You really could.
It would not be that hard.
There probably will be markets about that, you know. Orville.
And you,
first season of the Orville, they landed on a planet that was basically everything was internet voting in their criminal justice system. And the first thing the characters met was a guy selling black market scores.
Yeah. That'll be a thing.
That'll be a thing.
Or there'll be life farms where you're not actually doing that. Somebody else is doing it and you're getting the points.
Or they'll just do what we do here and have it where you go pay somebody to fix your credit score. Yeah. $30 a month, $150 down, they'll fix your credit score.
Now, when you say they'll fix your credit score, are they going to fix it or are they going to fix it good?
The way they first do it, there are ways of contesting whether or not you actually owe a bill. So let's say, just for argument's sake, I have a cell phone bill from a cell phone company that pissed me off, and I said, I don't owe you that fucking bill, and I'm not going to fucking pay it, kiss my fucking ass. And I haven't paid AT&T since they were Singular. And just like, screw them. And they're reporting saying, hey, Madman hadn't paid us. Well, that was four address changes ago. So I go to credit score person, and they're like, well, this madman lives in this town at this address. This bill's for this madman at this town at this address. Can you prove that they're the same madman? Did he give you his social security number? No? Well, then you can't prove it, so take this off of his credit score. That's the way it works, Hardball. Because a lot of companies don't have enough information on you to track what you've done, depending on what type of debt you're getting out of. So credit card bills, broken cell phone contracts, stuff like that's pretty easy. The ones that are kind of hard are rental agreements and loans from banks or the IRS. The IRS will hunt you forever. You're just fucked with them. But yeah, you can get out of a lot of debt.
Huh. Good to know.
Not that I've ever looked into this at all. Fuck you, Singular. Fuck you. I don't owe you shit.
Well, they don't exist anymore.
AT&T also. You didn't inherit crap from me. Broke our contract.
Touchy subject.
Not that I'm angry.
Close enough. Or, you know, we can switch over to the Australian lady. What's a good one for that?
I don't know. But I see that market you going up for a social.
There you go.
For social credit scores as well, rather than just economic credit score.
Oh, man. That'd be a fun job to have, actually. Going over there just to argue people's credit social credit scores up.
Yeah. How many Lee Chins are there here? Well, this Lee Chin's a bastard, but that's not my Lee Chin. My Lee Chin's fucking amazing. He saves orphans and kitties.
Dude, they've got you tagged and bagged from fucking birth over there. There's
Unless
no...
Unless they've tattooed his social on his neck, I can get him out of it.
Yeah, they all look like start with, Madman. Good luck.
I'm going to go with that.
It just,
wrong.
It just Morse just walked said. Into the sellotape on the door.
Brought to you by Australia.
Okay. let's move on to the next story. Rocket Snail. This one's from the BBC. Criminals escaping justice due to an IT system. A police IT system is unfit for purpose and is causing some criminals to escape justice. Officers have told the BBC's Victoria Derbyshire program. 9 forces in England and Wales use Athena, which is promised to speed up the detection of crimes. Did you have to name it after, I mean, we've all seen...
The Greek goddess of wisdom and warfare? Yes.
But we've all seen, you know, anime and sci-fi. Anytime you name the large computer system after a Greek or a Roman deity, it just never ends well.
That's the same one that was used, I believe, in Appleseed, and everyone knows how that one turned out.
Yeah. So...
Fine. Everyone was fine. We're good.
Except for all the old men they killed. No, they killed themselves in that anime. Fuck, I need to watch that anime again. That was a good one. Anyways, but officers say it regularly crashes and is overly complicated, meaning some cases are not built in time or dropped. Developers Northgate Public Service apologized for the problems in small areas, which it says it's fixing. A joint response from the 9 police forces said Athena, which has cost £35 million, almost said euros and got myself in trouble there, over the past 10 years, has been resilient and stable, although no system is perfect. The system was introduced following a government directive for forces to share intelligence after the Sodom murders of Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman in 2002. Officers say the intelligence sharing function works well, but the problems arise when they use the system to build cases for the Crown Prosecution Service. The delays it causes mean officers can struggle to get the information together in time to charge suspects, or the cases are not up to a high enough standard and are dropped. Serving officers at Hertfordshire and Essex told the program the process could now take up to twice as long. We have not named the officers because they could face disciplinary action for speaking out. Damn. Their comments included, the first 2 weeks it was brought here were the worst 2 weeks of my entire career. It's overly bureaucratic. It doesn't understand the police investigation process at all. From day one, it malfunctioned. 4 years on, it's still malfunctioning. It often requires information that is totally irrelevant, and if you miss just one data entry point, like whether the solicitor is male or female, I have to reject the whole case and send it back to the officer. Even for a simple shoplift, I probably have to press about 50 buttons, with a 30-second minimum loading time between each task. damn.
Oh, that hurts. 30 seconds.
What are they running this thing on?
Like I bet you they're running on those little desktop boxes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Back-ended, you know, by an AS400.
You know that shit that I have to put up with?
Uh-huh.
It's that. I bet it's that.
There have been incidents where charges have been dropped because of the inadequacies of the system. There have been cases of assaults, albeit fairly minor assaults, but there are still people who should be facing criminal charges. It slows the whole criminal justice system down. At the moment, it's not fit for purpose. This is the most challenging time I've come across. We're at a breaking point already. It has pushed some officers over the edge. Wow. Software on a Chrome on a Raspberry. Yeah. When you got detainees in a custody block who've got various illnesses and ailments, medical conditions that are all recorded on there, and they need medication at certain times, it became very dangerous because we were unable to access the records.
Oh, here's your insulin medication, but I'm schizophrenic.
Actually, if you have somebody who's really supposed to be on like a painkiller or something like that, you know, one of the more controlled drugs, that could actually be a real problem.
It's the anti-schizophrenic drugs and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Real problems.
I think I chose the right ones. Painkillers, you're going to go through detox. If your insulin goes too high or too low, it's called coma and death.
Yeah.
And then antipsychotics. They don't go cold turkey. You're supposed to wean yourself off of those if you get off of them at all. Yeah. This could be bad.
I've seen it firsthand, Madman, and it never goes good.
The nine forces, which also include those in Cambridgeshire, Kent, Norfolk, Suffolk, Warwickshire, and West Mercia, said in a joint statement that they had been working with the supplier to identify and correct the issues. West Mercia? Hey, isn't that where they found the coconuts? Over the... Okay, sorry. Nothing. Damn. Over the last 12 months up to November 2018, there have only been 72 hours of total downtime, and there are detailed plans in place of how to manage business when this occurs. Northgate Public Services, which created Athena, said 40,000 officers accessed the system and benefited from the improved criminal intelligence, but said it was working to make improvements to the complex system.
Don't worry, Morps. RU and I are arguing in a private chat over which type of swallow dropped the coconuts today.
Just making sure. We recognize there are a small number of areas where the solution where improvements can be made, and we apologize for difficulties this has caused. We were working hard with the customer and other parties to make these improvements a priority. So, yeah, okay. Well, that's your standard vendor response. Oh, no, it's like wonderful.
Dude, it sounds like Bethesda is doing this shit.
Ooh. This is when like we export our apology. Police state. I think we've already got this stuff down. We can try to sell this to England.
They're already doing pre-crime.
Yeah, but apparently they're networking on... Crime isn't that good. I think our FBI's got it down.
But I'm thinking if you've got crimes that are so minor that you're willing to let people go because the computers are slow, I'm thinking those crimes might not be worth prosecuting in the first place.
Dude, this is the country that sends people to fucking jail for Twitter comments.
Fair point. Well, shit, no wonder the system's overloaded. Then they're going after so much petty bullshit. It's like, why don't you focus on the murders and like grand larceny and things that, you know, people care about?
Maybe acid baths, some Sharia law.
Racist.
Oh, right. I forgot. If you actually went after pedophiles, that makes you a racist. I forgot about that. So
only in England.
So. Anyways. Let's see. Next article up is from Motherboard and is pretty out there. Arizona bill would charge porn consumers $20 to fund Trump's border wall.
In a week and a half, that sucker's paid from sea to shining sea.
Yeah.
Is it $20 a wank, $20 a load, $20 a video? How are we going to demonetize
device,
this?
$20 a device.
Month and a half, this sucker's paid for. If it's just Arizona. Now, if we go nationwide, lunch. It's paid for tomorrow.
Another version of the Human Trafficking and Child Exploitation Prevention Act in Arizona would charge people $20 to remove a porn block from their devices.
How are they going to block the porn?
They're going to install software on every device.
But it's mine.
So they're going house to house. I'm failing to see how this works now.
I only skimmed the article. Let's see here. An Arizona lawmaker introduced a House bill this month that would, you know, charge people in the state $20 to access porn on their own devices. If this sounds familiar, that's because it's yet another attempt at blocking porn with arbitrary fees and fines. This time, the lawmaker wants to make the money take the money raised and use it to fund a border wall. According to the bill, the Human Trafficking and Child Exploitation Prevention Act, all devices that access the internet sold in Arizona would be required to have porn blocker software pre-installed, and distributors who fail to do so would be guilty of a Class 1 misdemeanor.
Towards a fucked up dystopia.
Wrong one.
And if they refuse, we'll find the shit out of them.
There we go. yeah. The Arizona Mirror reports Republican Representative Gail Griffin has introduced House Bill 2444, which would make distributors of devices that allow access to the internet install software to make the offending material not viewable. Well, considering nobody's ever actually managed to successfully make a perfect porn block.
I mean, the UK are trying.
Yeah.
Whitehouse.com still gets through.
To remove the blocking software, a person would have to pay the state $20. His name isn't explicitly on the bill, but the legislation's title is the same model legislation pitched by Chris Stiver, an anti-porn troll with an uncanny ability to convince legislators in almost 20 states to introduce porn-blocking bills. The legislation is very similar to legislation introduced in Virginia, Kentucky, Alabama, Utah, Rhode Island, and South Carolina. Last year, the author spoke to Stiver, who told the author that he is behind many of these state-level efforts. He said that the individual states customized the bills, and this is the first one that would use fees paid to the state to unblock porn to build a border wall between Mexico and this state or fund border security, the bill reads. Sometimes
so this guy who's running around the United States proposing this bill, I don't want to know what sort of porn he looks at. Because it's going to be some fucked up shit, man.
Nah, he's trying to get porn blocked. I'm assuming he just beats up hookers.
Yeah, like, just generally those who are trying to get shit blocked are the worst offenders. I bet you he's like 19 gig of prigger porn or some shit like that.
So, I'm just trying to figure out what happens in this state if... Yeah, okay, so you live in Arizona, you buy a computer, and you immediately format it and put... I don't know, Ubuntu on there, or Linux, or just reinstall Windows clean and get all the damn crapware off of there, because I know a lot of places, businesses, a lot of people I've worked with, a lot of people I know, the first thing you do when you buy a new computer is you format it so you get all the bullshit off of it. And so is this going to make formatting your computer a crime if you haven't paid the state $20?
It's not even going to survive challenge, mainly because they can't police cross-border commerce.
Well, not only
the computer you built or the computer you bought, was it built in Arizona?
No, they're thinking retailers would have to install it. But even then, it's like, I mean, it's unenforceable. Not to mention, if it actually made it up to the freaking Supreme Court, wouldn't they strike this down for violating free speech? Actually, Psychro said as much in the chat room about 2 minutes ago.
Possibly.
So, sometimes states...
The tax on speech, not as much a block on it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to file fees for doing like a march. File paperwork for a march, and there's a lot of times a filing fee for that.
So, yeah, it says here distributors. Similar. It says distributors, so it would expect, like, your Best Buys and, Office Store, wherever you're buying it from. Amazon, if you're in that state.
I got a better idea. Why don't we just, he wants to wear, it's just a tax. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Just every machine sold, $20 out of every sale goes to fund the wall.
You know, that's honestly probably what would happen. is the stores would just charge you the $20 straight up and just say, yeah, they paid the fee.
People, that's what I mean. This is just the only reason they're doing it for porn is to stop fucking pearl clutches and shit like that freaking the fuck out. That's all that is. This is just a smoke screen using the word porn on the wall.
Yeah. Let's see. The Arizona version would form the John McCain Human Trafficking and Child Exploitation Fund. I don't think John McCain supported that kind of stuff. I don't know that you'd want, you know, a fund for doing that with his name. Bad joke.
And they couldn't use it to build the wall. There's already a case under the Obama administration. Border security and enforcement is strictly a federal matter.
Yeah.
States can't do it without federal permission.
Which would then be used to fund a wall. The author asked the McCain Institute whether it was aware of the bill or the fund, and they responded, we are not connected to it in any way, and as best we can tell from asking those who should know, neither is the McCain family, a spokesperson told the author in an email. Siver, who goes by several different pseudonyms, including Mark Siver, Chris Severe, or a combination of the two, is most famous for trying to marry a computer in protest of gay marriage and suing Apple for his own porn addiction. Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, so he's well-adjusted. Yeah, I want this guy fucking making laws.
Attorneys for the AC.
Next
go ahead.
God damn. Like, yeah, why do they listen to people like this? Like, the only thing he hasn't done is jacked off in traffic yet. He probably has, just hasn't been caught.
He successfully got a bill before the legislature. That's why they're listening to him.
Attorneys for the ACLU have called his efforts an unconstitutional cash grab for an internet filter and an attempt to infringe on people's rights, while the Electronic Frontier Foundation has said that these bills would be a blow to free speech. But they never pass. When the Rhode Island bill was introduced last year, the author spoke with sponsoring lawmakers about whether they'd done any research about the bill or had any plans for how it would be enforced, and they said no. The bill demonstrates yet again the power of advocates for various causes to get identical or very similar legislation introduced at a state level. All it takes is one or a few lawmakers to introduce legislation and create a new talking point. It's the same tactic that has been used by groups like the American Legislative Exchange Council and Big Telecom to pass the industry-friendly... Okay, blah, 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 blah. So, anyways. And they have a link here. Watch this next balloon porn superstar. The internet's getting weirder, man.
Oh, dude, stay away from inflation.
The internet's
just don't type in inflation anywhere, dude. It's weird shit.
I'm just going to take your word about that. Or, you know.
I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
So.
There we go.
There you go. Next one is from the BBC. But yeah, I mean, it's never going to pass. And if anybody looks at the technical merits of it's unenforceable. Seriously, what are you going to do? Oh, you have to charge. You have to pay $20 to install that. Click, click. What would you say? I'm sorry. I was, you know, using my computer. I actually have a laptop running Parrot Linux right now that has only booted the Windows install that came with it once. At least I assume. I never actually booted it, but the key in the BIOS is actually tied to that installation because I tried to put it in a virtual machine and it balked. It said it's already in use. She's like, you bastard. So I'm guessing they registered it from the factory, but I never actually booted the Windows install on it. Like, ever.
Awesome.
So if it had a porn filter on it, I would never have known. But yeah, I think you're right. Even if it passed, all they'd do is raise the cost of a, you know, tablet or whatever, $20 when you bought it, and the fee would just go straight to the government, which is exactly what they want. That's what they really want. You know, the guy, the porn addict who married a computer going around, you know, trying to get the thing passed, yeah, he's just giving them an excuse to, you know, raise a fee on something, really. Lawmaker doesn't give a shit about the technical merits. They're just like, what, we can get $20 for every computer sold? Sure.
But this guy couldn't control his own urges, so now he has to control everybody else's. Fuck you, buddy.
So, next one up is, I think you sent me this one, are you? It's from BBC. New internet law pledged as social media firms snub talks. The culture secretary has agreed he does not have enough power to police social media firms after admitting that only 4 of 14 invited to talks showed up. Matt Hancock told the BBC it had given him a big impetus to introduce new laws to tackle what he called the Internet's Wild West culture. He admitted self-policing had not worked and legislation was needed. But Labour's Tom Watson said the government had squandered chances to get tough on tech giants. Mr. Hancock told BBC One's Andrew Marr show, presented by... Why is it called the Andrew Marr Show if it's presented by Emma Bennett? Britain's is weird. That the government just doesn't know how many children of the millions using the social media were not old enough for an account, and he was very worried about age verification. He said that as part of the data protection bill currently going through Parliament, firms could be fined up to 4% of their global turnover, which would run to more than £1 billion for the biggest firms. He asked what the threshold would be for firms to hit the fines in terms of underage children on certain platforms, and he said, I'm not going to give a figure because we're going to consult on it. He told the program he hopes to get to a position where all users of social media have to have their age verified. Codes of conduct would be examined, he said, as existing terms of reference were not enforced properly. Asked how many of the 14 firms invited to attend the government talks had showed up, he replied, 4. So, yeah. You know, the story goes on and on with some analysis, but basically... The culture secretary in Britain tried to get a bunch of social media companies to come to a talk so they could talk about regulating them, and they basically told him to get bent. So now he's like, oh, we're going to have to pass some crazy laws.
I think a lot of them didn't show up because they were afraid that they'd be put in handcuffs for some sort of wrong think.
Well, they've got that problem going on over there, too. I mean, God forbid you teach your pug a trick.
But, I mean, for fuck's sake, don't give your kid access to the internet. And we'll fix this problem.
I do believe it does fall down to parenting. And how do they enforce the age? Do they actually issue licenses or IDs to kids over there?
Well, that's the point, is a lot of people in government seem to have this strange idea that we can come up with restrictions or ideas or things we want to happen. And the tech companies will just magic up a way for it to happen. They're modern wizards, you know. And it's like, yeah, it really doesn't work that way. Somebody's got to sit there and figure out and solve the problem and develop it and get the software written hopefully, to make it happen. This shit's not free.
And hopefully
it
doesn't slow your shit down.
Yeah. It's
not
free.
If there's an ID number on birth certificates.
So
they
that would mean...
They'd have a social. They'd have an equivalent to a social.
Yeah, but
they'd
then...
have to use that.
So then all these tech companies have to have access to those databases for doing verification.
Yep.
So,
and there's always going to be that one kid in primary school running around handing out his own fucking number to everyone so he could be a cool kid.
Yeah.
You know. So, it doesn't work.
Or they'll just steal them off dead people. I mean, shit. Grandma never set up a Facebook account. Let's use her number. I mean, you know.
And I don't think those birth certificate numbers are randomly generated either. They go one number up or down of yours, and you can spoof it.
Sure. So again, this is just, you know, government types who don't understand how this shit works, thinking they're just gonna order it and it'll magically happen. So granted, you know, I think all politicians suffer that a little bit, where it's like, oh no, I'm just going to demand this and it will happen. No, not necessarily.
I think a lot of it, they have to justify their own existence.
I'm serious. You're probably right. I'm laughing because it's just brutal and probably true.
Well, once they stuck the budget on autopilot over here, that's what freed up Congress to be stupid.
Yeah.
Before that, they were too busy taking care of actual problems and then figuring out how many nails does the cavalry really need to shoe horses.
Yeah, they're trying to stop government waste.
I've been doing the Legacy of Ashes book, listening to the history of the CIA. Dude, that organization goes off the rails because there was no oversight for a long time.
Especially in the '50s and sixties.
That's the part I'm finishing up right now, and it's just
everybody needs to read that.
They got
you read
no
when they got into
oversight.
The narco trafficking?
No, not
the
yet.
The Contras?
I haven't got that yet.
Have you gotten to the Contra stuff yet?
I'm still where they're still dealing with LBJ.
Okay.
But
does it mention like Songbird where they start setting up fake newspapers in Latin America?
Yes.
No.
Yes, but it wasn't just, I mean, it was all over Europe, and it was all over South America. It was crazy.
I just imagine them sitting around taking fucking lewds, drinking, and going, how else can we fucking overthrow this
country?
Well,
most of their money early on came from either, you know, basically under the table sources in the government, so there was no oversight for a long ass time, and even when there was... initially, Congress just set up a very, very small committee to decide what funding they get, and they weren't allowed to ask questions. So it's basically, you know, you tell us how much you need. We might argue with you some on the dollar amount, but we've got no way to verify it, so you're probably going to get it. And the director can basically do whatever he wants with no oversight.
I like the one where they bust someone for a minor infraction of the law and then go, well, you can stay out of prison if we let us use your shop front, and then they start bringing dope in.
I haven't got that far yet.
Okay, so I'm ruining the story.
I've heard that before, so I mean, come on, but it's...
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm at the part where they just got busted for recruiting through all these different student unions that they've been paying off. So... But yeah, it was. Point is that there was no oversight of it, and it was nuts what they were able to do. Of course, they had a super broad mandate when they were set up too, so whatever. But and I'm not picking on the CIA, but it's an interesting example at the moment. So
I am. I'm picking on you right now, and I gotta say I love your early work.
Madman,
fucking amazing trolling.
I disavow Madman.
It's just a fresh example in my mind because I'm listening to that book, right? Whoever wrote it really didn't like the CIA. I mean, like, really didn't like them. Because throughout the parts I've heard so far, they're portrayed as nothing but a collection of idiots and people who can't do anything right. So, but it's like, I don't know that it was that bad, but damn, the author didn't like them.
It does give off the smell of people wanting to play gangster. And not really know how to be a gangster.
Well, that's the problem in a lot of the early days of the thing. Nobody had any clue what the fuck they were doing. Like, I love the descriptions in the early parts of the book where they were trying to infiltrate, you know, the Soviets and China and stuff like that. Because they had been infiltrated themselves when they first set it up. And it's like, yep, they kept recruiting various, you know, different freedom fighters and local rebel populations, training them up, you know, airdropping them in. And because they were compromised right into the secret police's arms. Like, apparently, they their recruiting efforts, because the, was it the North Vietnamese? Shoot, now I forget. Maybe it was one of the countries they were screwing around with over there. They were compromised and they didn't know it. So everyone they went to recruit, that country's own secret police came in right behind them and said, so, the CIA wants to recruit you. You're going to say yes, and you're going to work for us. So, yeah, it's pretty bad, but... next article. This one's from Mashable. This isn't your mama's Girl Scout patch. In 2018, Girl Scouts of the USA announced a new set of STEM-oriented badges, including 3 cybersecurity challenges. Now, the largest Girl Scout council in the country, the Girl Scouts nation's capital... is working with Hewlett-Packard Enterprise to take its troops' cyber skills to the next level. This is messed up. The Girl Scouts have a site. They have pictures of these badges, and they've got the HP logo right there on them. So it's like, that's kind of... I don't remember, you know, the badges from, you know, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts having corporate logos on them. let's see. Junior Girl Scouts, age 9 to 11, and the 60,000 member strong organization will be able to play a custom made game to learn about privacy, online identities, security, and cyberbullying. Once they complete the game, they'll earn a decidedly analog new HPE cybersecurity patch. We know that children are going online at younger and younger ages. Lydia Soto-Harmon, the CEO of Girl Scout Nation's Capital, told Mashable over email, "We want to equip them with the ability to navigate online as a smart, cautious consumers, protecting their identity and their data and their safety. So they want their Girl Scouts to be consumers.
They're not teaching them about security. They're having them play a video game.
So, as we look at the world around us and how much happens online and how early kids are engaged online, I think this does become a set of fundamental life skills, Liz Joyce, HPE's chief information security officer, told Mashable over the phone. HPE created the game along with Romero Games to model real-world scenarios called Cyber Squad. The game teaches kids about the concept of digital footprint, online safety, privacy, security, and cyberbullying. They have some pictures of it. It looks like a Flash game. Since we're talking about working with kids, we all know that kids find stuff way more memorable if it's fun and exciting, Joyce said. And it was important to us that it was a fun, interactive experience that would hit the right note with the girls. The Cyber Squad came about when the GSNC troop leader, who happened to be married to an HPE executive, said she wished she could help teach her 9-11-year-old troop members more about cybersecurity. These preteens were becoming more autonomous digital citizens. At least they didn't say netizens. And the troop leader felt they needed more guidance. So, blah, 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 blah. Update Mashable to include input from GSN who... and change all mentions of HP to HPE. So, yeah, it looks like a Flash game. But I'm balking at this not so much because, you know, scout troops are starting to teach people cybersecurity. That's actually probably not a bad thing because, I mean, well, shit. You know, look at where the world's going. If you don't know how to type, you're going to be in trouble. But I think...
I'm not sure if a video game's how you learn that.
It's really not, but at the same time, it's a fucking corporate logo.
Oh, they need money. I think Sacros pointed out they've been going downhill since the Boy Scouts started taking Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
And I think Trojan has started sponsoring Boy Scout camps now that there's girls there. So.
I just now caught that. That's funny, Madman. I was still looking at the corporate logo being kind of pissed off. It's like, how long before the scout troops, you know, just nothing but corporate logos on their badges?
Let's see. The Girl Scouts stopped actually making cookies for their bake sales 30 years ago, was it? So, tomorrow? I mean, originally... The reason we have Girl Scout cookies, they needed to make money. Girls traditionally learned how to bake from their moms. They knew how to cook. They made cookies. They sold them. Very entrepreneurial. Very, I think, pro-feminine and pro-we don't need a man. They were doing it themselves, and they made money. Then all the Girl Scout cookies you and I have ever ate, they're corporate Girl Scout cookies. So...
Explains
They've been
why
corporatizing
Thin Mints.
For a while.
Explains why Thin Mints always taste good. They're made from the same recipe every time.
Yeah.
Same machines.
Same machines.
So, corporate political scouts, yeah. So, let's see. Next and last news article I have for tonight is from astronomy.com. This Russian startup wants to put billboards in space. Orbital display is shooting for the stars with advertising. Imagine this. You've just fled from the city to your nearest national park to gaze deeply into the infinite abyss of space and contemplate how your own existence fits into the curtain of the universe. It doesn't.
Pepsi.
Then out of the corner of your eye, you see the bright white letters spelling KFC spring up into the cross of the horizon in a long arch. A few minutes later, it's gone. That's the idea behind the orbital display, a Russian startup effort to bring billboard advertisements to low Earth orbit using a grid of tissue box-sized satellites called CubeSats. Orbiting approximately 280 miles above the ground, these tiny satellites were unfurled Mylar sails some 30 feet in diameter to catch and reflect sunlight, creating a pixelated matrix. The company Start Rocket has proposed using this tech to display knockoff of the Coca-Cola logo and other brand emblems, as well as allow governments to flash urgent notifications during emergencies. Look up in the sky. China says your score sucks, and they're coming for you.
this is going to be hacked quickly.
Wow, look at that. Porn.
Mommy, what's a goatsey?
Oh, just a goatsey across the sky. Oh,
no, Mr. Hands.
Mr. Hands across America.
Yeah, I like that one when DP View says with the Windows blue screen. Whoops.
Or just fucking, you know, please contact this mount with this group with X amount of Bitcoin to unlock this satellite.
Whoops, your files got encrypted. So, let's see. Vladen Snikyov, Start Rocket CEO, described himself as an advertising guy with a crazy idea. He's approached Skoltech, a private university in Moscow, to figure out the technical details, contracting a team of engineers to develop a prototype. Their first test launch could happen this summer, with a full execution in 2021. That is, if the company can find the money. You know, just across the sky, vote for Hillary. It's human nature to advertise everything. Brands are a beautiful part of humankind, Snikov says in a video call. Buddy, you and I have different definitions of beauty. He compared his efforts to Elon Musk and SpaceX, who last year launched a Tesla into space. I thought that was fake.
Nope. Which... he sent his actual car into space. It's going to meet him on Mars.
Huh.
No, it's not. It's off course by a couple of degrees.
It's going to meet him on Mars. It's going to work. This is Tesla. They don't fuck up.
No, not at all. Tesla doesn't pay good money for any video of Tesla cars on fire.
He also compared orbital display to banner-towing airplanes. But the idea, unsurprisingly, attracts negative reactions from astronomers and other dark sky advocates who fear adding more light pollution to the heavens would cause significant problems. However, those I spoke with unanimously felt the project, or something similar, is inevitable. The wait before LED lights and advertisements fill up the night sky may not be long. Many satellites are already reflective, bouncing flares of light back to Earth that are visible for a few seconds. The brightest are Iridium, a constellation of 66 telecommunication satellites tossed into orbit in the 90s. If launched, the orbital display will be about as bright as these, about -8 magnitude. For reference, the full moon is about -13, and the sun is about -27. Like most CubeSats, the billboard will have a planned obsolescence and won't last more than a year, the company says. The orbital display will only be viewable in the evening and morning twilight when the cubes catch sunlight while the observer is in darkness, according to... Oh, so this thing's going to be two colors. Yeah, Cycros has the right idea in the chat room of what you're going to see. ASCII art. Let's see.
I'm for that.
According to Patrick Setzer, an astronomer professor at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. You'll never see them at midnight, for example, he says in an email. Depending on the orbit chosen, they might be visible for a few days and then not visible for a week or more. Launching art projects like this with no commercial, scientific, or national security value seems unwise, says Setzer, who has been studying space debris since 2000. Space is getting increasingly crowded. There are over 20,000 objects with orbits in the official public catalog maintained by the U.S. Air Force. Less than 10% of those objects are active satellites. The rest are dead satellites, old rocket bodies, and parts of spacecraft. Astronomer John Barnett, I'm hearing we need to mine low orbit.
I'm hearing the Trash Collection anime that I didn't watch because it didn't look good is more realistic than I thought.
I'm just thinking you got old rocket bodies and spacecraft up there. There might be some useful material.
Titanium and steel, dude.
Yeah, let's go mine space. And I mean mine as in collect resources, not as in put explosives. Although that'd be kind of funny, too.
Don't give the Russians or the U.S. any ideas. We've already had 38 caliber cannons up there.
We did? I thought there was Russia no weapons rule.
Russia armed its space station in case the U.S. decided to invade it.
Can't say I blame them. If it was still up there, you know, Trump would be like, we can take it from them.
Hey, we got space. We're going to have Space Force, dude.
Space Force. John Bertheis isn't a bright idea, or actually the bright is the problem. Blah, 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 blah. So it's just people saying they don't like the idea. But I don't know. I think it's kind of a... it's going to happen. Eventually you're going to... I mean, for fuck's sake, you're getting the pop-up ads, you know, in the halls and on the elevators at work, on your computer, and the fucking fortune cookies. Went out for Chinese buffet with a group at work, and, you know, Capital One ad and the fortune cookie. Are you kidding me?
That is awesome.
That is amazing. I've never seen that.
So,
and I don't think we're going to get it on space, on looking up the night sky. I don't think it's going to be cost effective. I do believe VR is going to eventually pick up, and it's just going to be augmented reality, virtual ads.
It would be like Ghost in the Shell. Your eyes get hacked to display ads all the time. You don't even know it. So, it's like the only people who saw what the Laughing Man looked like were old, homeless people who couldn't afford eye implants.
That's what I'm going
to
be.
That's another good anime. I need to watch that one again, too. Let's do this. All right, got a couple, several things actually for you tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a Doom mod, and classic Doom, although this mod is actually for GZ Doom, I believe. This is, they took all the original textures and ran them through NVIDIA's Game Workshop Super Resolution and the Topaz AI Gigapixel to blow the resolution up without losing so much quality. And it worked. Apparently, these machine learning resize programs, I guess you'd call them, actually work fairly well. And so they were able to upscale a lot of the original Doom textures to a higher resolution without really distorting them or having to redraw them too much. Apparently, they did have to go clean them up because some of the routines introduced a lot of texture noise. But... yeah, so they've upsampled all of the textures for, you know, 4x, and then they downsampled them back down to 2x the original size, just to kind of clean them up and maintain a little bit of the nostalgic blocky look. But I was playing around with this mod pack the other day on GZ Doom, and it does work, and it looks nice.
That's cool.
So it's not like some of these crazy high res ones where they've redone all the textures, but it still feels like Doom because it looks like Doom. And it's all the original textures, unlike the redraws, where sometimes it looks really weird. I don't know if anybody else knows what I'm talking about, but like a lot of the retexture packs, it just doesn't look right. And it's because somebody redrew it.
Or it doesn't play right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one's just replacing all the textures with resampled versions of it, and it works. So I actually found this because apparently there's a project spinning up right now to do the same thing for the backgrounds in Final Fantasy VII for the PC version of it, so that you can have... you know, a modded version of the PC game and not have to wait on the re-release. So, I'm looking forward to that mod pack coming out as well. Next one up, because we were talking about moving off of Chrome, although if you're trying to get away from Google properties, this probably isn't the best way to go. This is a add-on for Firefox called FXCast. And basically, it's Chromecast for Firefox. It enables Chromecast support for casting web apps like Netflix or the BBC iPlayer and HTML5 video and screen tab sharing up to the Chromecast devices. It's all pre-release betas right now, but they're working on it. It's a Firefox extension to let you use a Chromecast from Firefox. Now... that said, if you're trying to get away from Google, I would replace your Chromecast with like a Raspi or something, because there's actually a few different open source projects that let you do basically the same thing. But it would be worth looking into. But it's a short-term thing. This is kind of a neat trick. And then the last thing I have for you tonight is fairly useless, but fairly badass at the same time. It is a terminal emulator. And they've got a Windows version, they've got a Linux version, called EDEX UI. And basically, they were making the Tron interface for your terminal for an actual real machine. It has a keyboard on it because the idea is you're supposed to load it on like a tablet, but you know, a touchscreen tablet. But it's basically a terminal. Works in Windows. Works in Linux. And yeah, they're totally going for like a cinematic look. And you can argue the utility of it, but it looks cool and it's got a lot of information displayed on the screen. So it is Electron. So yeah, it takes, I was playing around with it on my laptop. It takes like 5 minutes to launch. No kidding, for a terminal emulator. But it's kind of fun to play around with. But I noticed on my Parrot Box, which is basically Debian, not all the features were working right. So, but they've got a Windows build as well that apparently launches PowerShell, and I'm really tempted to play with. So it's fun. It's stupid. Not all that useful, but it's fun. So if you want to sit in a coffee shop and make somebody think you're like, you know, somebody who doesn't know any better, you know, you want to have a fancy looking interface in case somebody's solar surfing you, here you go. That's about the best use for this, is showing off. I mean, they even say in the, you know, they've got the FAQ, what OS will this run on? Currently Windows, Mac OS, and a Linux distro can run it. It's running Chromium in the background. The thing actually uses quite a bit of memory when it's running. Is it a real terminal? Yes. If you don't like the colors, there's a repo on how to change up the theme. Why is there a keyboard? Because it's meant to be used on touchscreens. The original DEX UI was an experiment and was not meant to be used for real. And then the last in the FAQ, will this make me insanely badass? The answer is yes, and it has a picture of Daft Punk. So, yeah, it's silly. It's meant just to look cool. But, you know, hey, if you're trying to, like, build an interface to impress somebody, here you go. So, wow, we ran long tonight. That's all I've got. Madman, closing thoughts.
I think China is going to start exporting the social credit score.
Oh, that'll be scary.
There's no doubt, man.
It'll be picked up by India, then the UK. No, not the UK, then the EU, and eventually work its way across the ocean.
Brought to you by Australia.
Fuck off, we didn't do that, cunt.
So I hit the wrong one again. I haven't learned this soundboard. We just made this like an hour before the show.
You fuckers too.
Where was it? I don't remember which one. Anyways, are you closing thoughts?
Look towards the end of the year of the actual video game industry going into a recession, a complete collapse.
Oh,
why do you think that?
Just going by some of the stuff I was looking at from the 80s. In the markets then, when home computers first started coming out, when Atari and all those started losing their share
the
of the market.
Oh, the original crash of the, yeah, of the video game
I'm
consoles before the NES
man.
Came out, yeah.
Okay, so at that time, the market was flooded with shitty, broken games. Just titles were getting just mass churned out, and it turned the industry into complete crap. What happened, the industry started falling in on itself, and so gaming houses just started buying gaming houses after gaming houses. It's what we're seeing now. Like, as these big companies with their $100 million projects, like, not every game house has Gears of War or the big titles, you know, Rockstar and stuff like that. The little guys, they're drying up and walking away, or they're being consumed by the bigger guys.
Yeah, and the sad part is it's probably going to be games like FIFA that keep, you know, the game industry alive.
They all keep it going, but I think we're going to see a big downturn in AAA titles and a big upsurge in playing older stuff.
I could see.
Well, I mean, older, 2010, upwards, onwards, that way.
Well, I mean, hell, I've been replaying Borderlands lately. I mean, shit, why not? It's more fun than any of the new stuff that's come out.
I'm still playing 7 Days. You know, I've been playing that since it was in early development.
I mean, for God's sakes, we just spun up a Minecraft server again, of all things.
Well, what's worth buying right now? There's no one title that anybody wants.
There hasn't been any major everyone's playing a game come out in years.
Let's face it, Bethesda is just a steaming wreck of shit right now. We saw a lot of companies bankrupt or be absorbed last year. And I think looking at the market for video games, we are going to see a hell of a nosedive. And I don't just mean by stock. I mean layoffs. Games that being developed, just stopping.
Well, hell, go look at what's happening with Blizzard right now. That's an exodus from that company.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's like, no shit, are you? It's been happening for years. But I think the end of this year, it'll be absolutely blatant that we aren't going to see another Battlefield style of game from EA for a long time.
Yeah.
I think they'll churn out a Battlefield, but it ain't going to have the hype. And I think BlizzardCon will be gone by this year. This will probably be the last one.
Yeah, they're not going to want to risk another, Diablo. You know.
What do you mean? You haven't got a phone?
Don't you have phones?
Dude, they should have rushed the stage and beaten the shit out of him.
I think everybody was just too stunned at that point. I just loved all the pictures coming out of BlizzardCon of the demo area for the new Diablo game and, like, nobody there.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're going to push the mobile market. That's going to really crush the AAAs. I can't predict what's going to happen, but I think we're going to be looking at a very different landscape come 2021.
Blizzard coming out with vanilla WoW servers says something.
Yeah. There's some writing on the wall. If you can get in close enough and read it.
Well,
you see this big dump of BuzzFeed shit. An arm of BuzzFeed that's not needed. Get ready to see that with some of the bigger gaming houses too. They're just going to cut the little games out.
So, well, that's all I got. DP View, I hope we haven't messed up your day too bad.
Yeah, good luck with your day, buddy. Stay warm or dry or whatever your temperature is.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
That's all I got. I'm going to hit the Pac-Man sound.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
And if they refuse, we'll find the shit out of them.